Why, thank you, Jungle Jim, for that wonderful musical introduction. Man, look at you over there. Here we are in the middle of March, and you're over there in your green top and your little top hat and your shillelagh. Ah, your shillelagh's over there, Jungle Jim, playing, cranking on that synthesizer. Maybe a little later you can crank us out some Irish tunes, huh? And I'm talking real Irish tunes. That's Jungle Jim. I'm Tim Marr. This is Failing Up, recording this podcast in the basement studio located along the shores of the mighty, guess what? That's right, Seneca River, which flows all the way up to the beautiful Great Lake of Ontario, feeding, guess what? You're right, the St. Lawrence Seaway, and going past 1,000 islands all the way out into the mighty Atlantic Ocean and around the world, just like my voice. Somehow you can find your way into Toronto and into Buffalo on Lake Ontario, and you'll finger away, finger, fiddle out, finger, whatever you're gonna do. You're gonna finger your finger, fiddle, fick. Hey, you ever watch Rowan and Martin's Laughing? Way back, it's way before your time, Jungle Jim, but the Fickle Finger of Fate Award used to be on Rowan and Martin's Laughing, big hit show in the late 60s up into the early 70s. Predecessor, actually, to Saturday Night Live. Fickle Finger of Fate Award. But anyway, you can fickle your finger fate award all the way out. Somehow you're going to get on Lake Erie. You're going to get yourself on huge Michigan, right over on the Huron, big lake Huron. And the superior lake of them all, of course, is Lake Superior. Whew. Boy, that's a lot, Jungle Jim. I'm going to have a cup of coffee. Well, here we are in the middle of March. And the whole crazy United States, at least in the northeast part of it, is just St. Patrick's Day mania. You know, I mean, we're in a big St. Patrick's Day mania here. You have the green beer, and you have people with, you know, like all kinds of green shirts and hats and T-shirts and stuff painted on their faces, and, you know, parades are coming up and all kinds of stuff. You know, and everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, no matter what. Everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day. And what does that mean, everybody's Irish? What that means on St. Patrick's Day is everybody gets to drink and say they're Irish. Everybody gets a free card to drink and say they're Irish on St. Patrick's Day. Now, mind you, Jungle Jim, and mind you out there, back in the day, this boy right here could knock him back on St. Patrick's Day. My St. Patrick's Day would usually start about March 4th, and it would go to probably March 25th. You know, but over the history of St. Patrick's Day, it's really an American holiday, Jungle Jim. It's a, you know, now they celebrate in Ireland because the Irish many, many, many years ago figured out, well, we can make some money off of these Yanks, by God, we're going to have it over here too. Because some rich Americans will decide, if I really want to do St. Patrick's Day, I'm going to go over to Ireland and I'm going to get cocked. So they do. But prior to that, prior to maybe 20 years ago or so, St. Patrick's Day was just a holy day in Ireland. It was a pretty calm holy day. And I was talking to my cousin one time, and he said, oh, you're going to have the green beer and all that. And he started chuckling in a mocking fashion. And I think the sad thing, Jungle Jim and people out there, is that St. Patrick's Day, really America's version of St. Patrick's Day with the American Irish, in many ways is paints the Irish in a way of caricatures. You know, what does it mean to be Irish? Means, you know, you're the drunken buffoon at a bar, or you're the leprechaun with the beer suds coming out, or, you know, Irish beer, beer, Irish, drinking Irish. And not that it's bad to have a pint if you're Irish, if it can handle it, but the American, Yankee Irish, you miss the depth and the breadth and the history of the beautiful culture of Ireland and the sadness of what really occurred and how what caused so many to emigrate over here to the United States in the, you know, the mid to late 19th century, the Great Famine, tragic famine, manufactured famine, causing people to flee, starvation, massive starvation, hundreds of thousands dead, coffin boats coming over to the northeastern part of a country, and struggling to find their way, the early Irish, you know, and the next generation of Irish started to, as they moved along, and the Irish and their skills as organizers and orators and writers and musicians started to pave their way in all those industries, and priests and bishops, and, you know, the bishops and the cardinals in New York City were Irish, and the police were Irish, and George M. Cohan, who created practically Broadway, was Irish, and Eugene O'Neill. And so all of these great talents brought this, you know, this Irish culture over here. And then you had the Irish of that era, you know, the Irish of the early 1920s and 1930s, who in many ways were trying to become so American. And in Ireland, the country of Ireland has always taken on this mystical, romantic allure. It's a beautiful country, but it's taken on this mystical, romantic allure with some of the songs, because when you're forced to leave someplace, when you're forced to stop something, you're going to miss it that much more. And with the Irish Alzheimer's, in some ways, they were able, these people were able to block out the pain and the horror that was occurring there and start this new life. And then in the, you know, in the 40s and the 50s, you'd have the, you know, the revelry, and you'd have the American Irish, and the, you know, the Irish, the real Irish, are much more of a humble and quiet and reserved and serious folk, but they're witty and very humorous at the same time, which is an oxymoron, I know. And the American Irish are very bold and brazen, you know, and in America, we call, you know, if you have any Irish blood in America, you call yourself, oh, I'm Irish. But really, you're American. And if you go to Ireland and you say I'm Irish, they're going to say, well, you're American. You're not Irish. I'm Irish. You're American. And it's two very different cultures and two very different tracks. And the Irish, the American Irish, and what was morphed into here in many ways robs the real history and the contributions of those that are Irish and came over here to this country in many ways, way back in, again, the mid 19th century, forced out mainly because they were starving to death, or if for political reasons. My great grandparents came over for health reasons, and also they had some, you know, political issues, but mainly health reasons. But through the, you know, through the history, it the perspective is so different. You know, if you're an American and you're a second or third or even a first generation Irish, your view in some cases of what that means is different than in the beginning. You know, if you're able to sing Danny Boy and hold down your beer on St. Patrick's Day, you know, it's almost like you were Irish for a day and then it was all over and you moved on. And but the history of it, and it really came to, you know, I grew up in a time, and I grew up with in a household where we, you know, where we celebrated St. Patrick's Day, and we had my Irish part of the family. We celebrate. I grew up with a very Irish bent to us, and celebrating the holidays and the Irish and the songs and the music and all of that, and the part of the area my father grew up in, and my father's friends and family, and so it was a lot of sing-alongs and music and beer and loud, and that, you know, that's the American version of being an American Irish, you know, in parochial schools and all of that stuff. I was an altar boy, and the connection between, in many cases, for certain Irish, you know, Catholicism in Ireland and Irish, and what that looks like in America as opposed to what that looks like in Ireland. And it wasn't really until I moved to New York and I got a job at Rosie O'Grady's, and I was working down there because immigration came through, and that's when, like, the real second influx of immigration occurred in the 80s and the 90s. A lot of illegals were over there, and in New York, they were living out at Queens, and I got to one of my, you know, Rosie's got cleaned out by immigration, and a couple people stayed, and so I was hanging out and working with a good friend of mine was here, but he was here, you know, illegally, but he was able to work, and you know, people were, you know, looked out for back then, and just a great guy, but it opened up my eyes to the different perspective and how the Irish view the Americans. And it's, you know, it's very different. And it almost makes how for the most part, America portrays the Irish as really a racist derogatory in a derogatory way with, you know, leprechauns and shamrocks. And every time you think of St. Patrick's Day, you know, it's the second biggest drinking day next to New Year's Eve. It may even be bigger now. You know, that's amateur hour. I'm not going on St. Patrick's Day. That's when all the amateurs go out. I'm not going on New Year's Eve. That's when all the amateurs go out, Jungle Jim. It's amateur hour. But what I started to embrace, especially when I connected with my family in Ireland and through my parents, and was really the history. And I got to know the history of our family. And I actually, our honeymoon, we went to Ireland, my wife and I, we met family members over there. I met our great, great, great aunt or cousin, who was my great grandfather's niece. And she was 100 years old. And she looked and said, "Oh, my Uncle Tom moved to Syracuse. She looked just like him." And that history then came alive, you know, the history of my family and what they had gone through, and from County Tipperary in a town called Templemore on a farm named Anfield, and how they, some had to leave the farm and some are in Australia. And my great grandfather and grandmother came to the United States and died young. And, you know, my grandfather and his two brothers were put in an orphanage up on Tipperary Hill and ran away and were raised by friends, and that whole story. But what was going on over there? And when you're over there, this, when you meet an Irish, you know, somebody in Ireland, there's this whimsical wit and humor and a little twinkle in the eye. But there's always a sadness. You know, there can be a sadness and a seriousness. And it's far from what we portray on St. Patrick's Day. Now, again, they, you know, they ain't no fools over there, and they grabbed on it because, you know, Americans decided, you know, that if I'm going to get my roots and I'm really going to be Irish, and the more you visited Ireland, I guess the more Irish you became. And so Americans would go over to Ireland with their green plaid pants and lime green shirts and berets with orange tops and all that stuff, wearing all the stuff that you would never see worn over there, except if it was worn over there. And it's funny because then the Irish would actually stage areas of Ireland because they knew the Americans were coming over for the Irish experience. So they made it look more like the Irish experience. They made sure there were thatched cottages, and they made sure that, you know, the buildings looked the way they might have looked in a John Huston movie, Huston movie. But those are, I'm sorry, John Ford, Ireland, Ford, not Henry. And but there's such a difference. And again, when you're over here and it's St. Patrick's Day, and you see the green and you see the parades, and you know, it's all fun and frolic, but it really, it's a celebration. The Americans are celebrating a caricature. The Americans are celebrating, in most cases, in a lot of cases, not in all cases, but they're celebrating an Irish and an Ireland experience that's been fabricated through America. They're celebrating America's version of how they see the Irish passed down through generation and generation. And so that's really where it becomes a caricature, in many ways, a caricature holiday. And I once, you know, in my younger days, when I could knock them back, I would go on St. Patrick's Day and be plowed just like everybody else. And, you know, sing one verse of Danny Boy, and I'd hum another verse of Danny Boy, and I'd throw up during the third verse. But now I find it to be a holiday where I really get to, I tend to read a lot, I don't read a lot anyways, but I read more in March, and I listen to music, and I try to listen to more traditional music, you know, old Irish music. I do like, you know, some of the stuff that was even written here, you know, in the I guess you'd call it more of the traditional corny American stuff, but I like that, you know, because that brings me back to my experience growing up and my family growing up. And, but when you look at the experience and some of the things that, you know, that came through in literature and on the stage that portrayed the real tragedies in Ireland, whether it's, Frank McCourt's Angela's Ashes, which caused a huge stir when it portrayed his upbringing in Ireland, or if it was, you know, real portrayals of the famine, you know, So it isn't a land of just lucky charms, but it's a land of suffering, and it's a land of perseverance, and it's a land of survival, and it's a land of wits, and it's a land of creativity, and those that are great orators and writers. And that's what came over to America, the wit and the orator and the survival. And that's what, and the fight, and that's what came up through generation after generation after generation, and eventually rising into places of prominence in politicians, and as I said, all the leadership roles and places in writing and music and entertainment, just leaders, and those are the traits and those are the history. And when you start diving down and you start going backwards from that, and you realize really, you know, from the famine to today, what the Irish have accomplished in this country is quite incredible. And when you look at what it is to be, you know, Irish in America and to be the American version of Irish, because if you're Irish American, you're not Irish, you're Irish American and you're American, that taint is on there. And an Irishman or a person from Ireland will look at you as an American. And in many ways, they would look at you as an American trying to be Irish. You're trying to be Irish, you know, and you try. Sometimes Americans are being trying to be more Irish than the Irish. You know, if you go to Ireland, you're not seeing a mess of people walking around in green sweatshirts and green hats and orange hats and green tattoos and all that kind of stuff. You're seeing people living their lives and celebrating their culture in some ways and the tragedies of their culture as well. So that's where over here, the caricature was created. The caricature was created in many ways. I think it might've brought comfort. In many ways, it brings more people into play. And on March 17th, a lot of people run out and that's what it is. It's a day to party. It's a big party day. And, you know, some places will be playing the Irish music and some places will be, you know, taking your jars and tipping your glasses and all that kind of stuff. But it's also a great day to listen to the music. And it's also a great day to reflect on if you have a drop of Irish blood running through your veins, how did that drop of blood end there? How did that blood end up in your veins? And what's the journey of that blood? What's the history of that blood? You know, and I think, you know, as a whole, people are more interested in their ancestry. Ancestry, DNA, until they find a cousin that they find out they married. Wait a minute. I can't. You're my wife. I can't. You're my cousin. Oh, my God. No wonder the kids are the way they are. But that's really, you know, what's interesting. On St. Patrick's Day, what I do every year is I get Irish flags and I put them on the graves of my father. I put them on. I pop one on my godfather usually, and I put one on my great grandparents' grave in Ireland. And when we came back from Ireland, my wife and I grabbed dirt from Anfield, the farm, and I put it on the graves of, I put it in the grave, buried it in the ground of my father and mother, my father at the time, and my great grandparents, Bridget and Thomas. And I took it to my grandfather, Jeremiah, and put the dirt there. So the dirt from Anfield made it over to this country, just as they made it over to this country for, you know, and imagine how hard that was. Imagine how hard it was to leave your country, having to leave your country, being forced to leave at that time, the famine immigration, we had to leave. Or later on, my great grandparents, I think, came over in like 1880s, 1890s, but you had to leave. You know, it's not like you had a choice. You know, now people relocate all the time, but you had to go. You had to say goodbye and you weren't coming back. And imagine that. And because of that, and not going back, and when you're homesick and you miss something, it becomes, again, Ireland is a beautiful country, but it becomes 55 times more beautiful. And the sadness in the songs become 55 times more sad. And the memories become more and more distant as you're trying not to live the pain every day. So you're looking for that next step, you know, and you want to be American, because if you're American, you're going to get the jobs and eventually. And then as the newer waves came over and started celebrating more of the Irish culture and to be Irish, and like the ones I was at Rosie's taught me so many lessons about what that means and Again, when it was weird because when I grew up, when I was growing up, everybody, if you had Irish blood in your veins, oh yeah, you're Irish. I'm Irish, but you're not Irish. You're American. And when you're in Ireland and you say, oh, where are you from? And you say, oh, you're the Americans. And I remember, them saying, oh, when my wife and I went, we went to this place in Kilkenny, and my cousin had called down and said, oh, you're the two Americans. And you are. And it makes you realize that there is a difference. There is a difference in many ways how our heritage and our lineage, what it means to us and how we respond to it. And also how it's celebrated. I think of green beer, and I think of shamrocks on faces and green pinwheels and green lays or whatever, all the crappy balloons and all. To me, that's just, I don't even know what that is. That's just stuff, and sometimes it can be insulting and sometimes it's not, but that's just stuff. And to say that the Irish culture boils down to one big party on a day where very few are celebrating the culture, and some are, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think has kind of a hollowness to it in some ways, because what's being celebrated on in the American side is we're celebrating what we created, the image we created, and what's being celebrated overseas is they're celebrating because they're making money off what we created. What do you think, Jungle Jim? I'm Tim. That's Jungle Jim. I hear you, Jungle Jim. It's time to go. God bless you all. We'll be talking to you soon. I'd be tinking. Don't you, Jungle Jim? Bye-bye.